All right, if you'll take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Some people are probably wondering, what is going on? He's not following the program. This is not how the services ran. Because we do get into our little routine and stuff, and sometimes it's good to just kind of shake it up. But I'd already told some of the people that I probably would be changing it up, just how I felt the Lord was leading, because I've got a message this morning that I really believe that the Lord wants us to hear, to be able to apply to our life, to be able to understand what the battle is on the outside. The title of my message this morning, and it's a long title, is The Battle Within from Without. The Battle Within from Without. The Victory Won Inward, Manifested Outward. The Victory Won Inward, Manifested Outward. My goal this morning is to get through the entire sermon, as long as I can talk and flip pages at the same time, is not to keep you here long, but to give you some truth that will help you in your daily life to understand the battle that you're in, the spiritual battle that you're in. You can understand how it affects you. Why is it some days I feel ran down? I know I'm saved, but some days I don't feel like it. You know, what is it that affects my life? Why, you know, why do I go through these ups and downs spiritually? And the Bible tells us plainly why. But sometimes we need a visual aid to help us to see what it is that we cannot see. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 17, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask that you would bless our time together. I pray, Father, you put a hedge of protection around this place. Lord, as the children are being taught the Word of God and playing some games, I pray, Father, that you would speak to their hearts. But, Lord, would you speak to our hearts in the sanctuary? Father, we desperately need you to guide us in our life. We need you, Father, to help us to win the battles that we face at different times in our life. Father, our flesh didn't get saved, but Lord, our spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have confessed him as our Savior, if we've called upon him, Lord, I have a sincere heart. I pray, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning, guide everything that's done. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bind Satan, bind all the dark forces that would want to hinder the work of God, that would want to hinder the seed of the Word of God entering into our hearts and changing us from the inside out. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would have the freedom, Lord, to move among us, convicting our hearts, challenging us, encouraging us, helping us to understand how the Scriptures apply to us and how we can walk in the Spirit on a day-to-day basis, having victory in this world and having the true peace that passeth all understanding. Father, I do pray that you would help me. I can't do anything, say anything that would make any sense without you guiding me and directing me. So, Father, I ask that you fill my mouth with the words that need to be said. Keep me from saying anything that doesn't need to be said. And, Father, would you establish all of our thoughts? Lord, would you just rein in our thoughts and help us to be completely focused on you this morning, because I know that you have something you want to say to all of us, including me. And I pray, Father, you would get all the honor, glory, and praise that's due unto your name for the change that takes place in the lives of your people, not just today, but, Lord, the change that has already taken place and the change that will continue to take place as we continue to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and his ministry and you cultivating us more to the image of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, God had created the heavens and the earth. God had created all kinds of animals. God had made a beautiful place to be inhabited. But he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." God had a desire. God had a plan to make man, and he did, out of the dust of the ground. He formed the body. He formed the shell of a man, but then he would breathe life into the nostrils of that body that would become a living soul. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." In Matthew 28:19, Jesus would say to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." When God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," he was not creating man to be equal with God, but he was creating man to be designed like God, having three parts. There are three parts to every single person born into this world, and those three parts make up one person, and that is you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, but they're one. God is one. But sometimes the best way we can describe it is three different offices. God's the Creator, Jesus is the Savior, and the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. He's the one that works in the believer, changing them from the inside out. But what I want you to think about this morning, understand this morning, there are three parts to you, and those three parts are affected in different ways. There's one part of you. If you are a child of God, it is untouchable. The devil cannot touch this one part of you if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have called out to him for salvation, because we'll get to it, but you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. What part of you is sealed by the Holy Spirit? Why am I still tempted to sin? Why do I still have thoughts of suicide or doubt? Why do I struggle on the inside? I know I'm saved, but why do I still have this outward battle that affects the inside? And there's a reason for it, because God designed you that way. God designed you to have three parts. And forgive the drawing, but just, I'm not an artist. I had somebody else do it for me because mine was much worse. But this is what I want us to understand. There's three parts to you. Sometimes in the Bible calls the outer part the body flesh. Then the Bible talks about the soul. But then you have a spirit, because we have to be renewed within our spirit. When you think about the outer part, your flesh, your body, there's three parts to you, but there's only one part that is saved. There's only one part the devil cannot touch if you're a child of God, and that is your spirit. This morning, I want you to understand, as you look there in the flesh or the body, that outer part of you that people see, that outer part that you exercise on a daily basis. It's made up of your five senses, your hearing, your seeing, your smelling, your taste and touch. There are things that we look at. There are things we listen to. There are things that, I mean, they smell good to us. There are things that taste divine, like a steak next to a piece of pecan pie. There are things that we touch because it feels good. But those five senses affect the inside. Those five senses will affect our soul, how we think, how we react, and how we feel on a daily basis. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 19 and 21, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." There are things that take place on the outside that we involve ourselves with that affects and can distort the inside, can affect and distort our soul, affect the way that we think, the way our emotions, our feelings, even our desire, our will to live anymore, our desire to continue committing sinful acts or doing sinful things or even good things. I mean, what's on the outside that affects your body, that affects those senses, you know, good or bad, determines how we live, determines how we respond to life. That's why in verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3, we're told, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Always thinking about as a child of God, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, bearing the name of Christ as a Christian, that everything I do, I wanted to bring honor and glory to the Lord. I don't want to desecrate the name that I am sealed with. I don't want to desecrate, you know, the blood of Jesus that was spilt for my sin. I don't want to willfully continue living in sin that I have been freed from. So again, he says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." What I want you to understand this morning, everything you do with your flesh, everything you do with your body, whether the things you listen to, the things you look at, the things you smell, the things you taste, the things you touch, because touch just speaks about working, the things you do. What do you do with your hands? What do you pick up to look at? What do you pick up to listen to? What is it that you're doing with your body, with your flesh? It's either going to bring, I mean, there is, the Bible does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. Sometimes people will do things that are not right because it brings them a gratification for the moment, for the time, but it wears off. It destroys that person. So again, your flesh, your five senses, again, the things, your body, all right? So what you and I allow our flesh to have and do will affect our soul for good or bad. And the second part of you is your soul. It is your soul. Your soul is who you are. It's your thoughts. It's your will. It's your emotions. It is how you feel, because understand that how we think is how we act. How I feel is how I'm going to respond to somebody or some situation. If I've got anger swelling up inside of me, if I don't control it, it's going to come out through the flesh. It's going to come out with either what I do with my hands, or it's going to come out with what I say with my mouth. So our soul is our thoughts, our emotions, our will, our desire. Sometimes in the Bible, God refers to it as our heart. As our heart. Because Jesus will say in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What is it that you value in life? What is it that you're working for? What is it that you give your whole self to? Because wherever our treasure is, there will our heart be also. We will give our entire self to it. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Right? So, I mean, you think, how does someone get to the place of committing murder? Well, they've thought on it for a while. They've envisioned how they're going to do it. They've allowed the jealousy, the anger, whatever the feeling is, to overtake, and they just have thought and thought and thought, and eventually they give themselves to it by committing the act with their hands. But also, as the Lord says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Not everything that we think, not every feeling that we have, should we expound on with our words? Spouses, you don't have to shake your head, but have you ever been upset with your spouse? Wives, you ever been upset with your husband? Husbands, you ever been upset with your wife? Kids, have you ever been upset with your parents? I can't count how many times my mama said, "If I'm going to turn around and slap you." Because just as a boy, sometimes I would get a little mouthy. I know it's hard to believe, but I would get a little mouthy with my mom, trying to push those limits, right? But the moment she said, "You wait till I tell your dad." But for some reason, kids love to kind of push the limits of the mom, all right? Anyway, but, you know, what's in your heart? Again, have you ever gotten upset with your spouse and you had to bite your tongue because it's not going to be good if I say this? Or you just went and said it anyway because it's like, well, he's my husband and he or my wife and they need to hear this. And it just made things worse, okay? So there are things on the outside of us that can cause us to feel and to think a certain way that if we don't control it, will come out through the flesh again, and it just makes things worse. Now, before I go any further, I want you to understand, everybody is created with three parts. Everybody's born with three parts. But there's one part that God's interested in the most, because the one part God's interested in, if he has that part, then he can work from the inside out. The devil works from the outside in. The devil's trying to work through your flesh, if you're not saved, to get at your spirit. Your spirit is eternal. You will live forever somewhere. You haven't lived forever. All of us, every person has had a beginning. God's the only one that is eternal in the fact that he has no beginning, no end. But you and I have no end. Our spirit is eternal. Your spirit will live forever. Your spirit is untouchable once you're a child of God. Once you have been born again, once you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, the devil can't touch that, but he still wants to destroy the flesh. He still wants to distort the soul of that person, who you are. He still wants you to think contrary to the truth of God's word. So the devil works hard against the flesh. And if he can get into the flesh and start distorting your thinking, start distorting your feelings, start distorting your will as a child of God, though he cannot touch your spirit because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, yet he can change who you are. He can cause you to choose to start believing things that are not true, to start living contrary to the blessings of God, to the grace of God, to the love of God. So it is very important. I mean, let's be honest this morning. How many of you, and I'm raising my hand, how many of you have ever felt miserable on the inside? You looked fine on the outside. And I'm not talking necessarily, you know, health-wise, just you feeling, you just, you know, just, there were times in my life I didn't feel saved. I even doubted my salvation. Well, I mean, I know God's my Savior. I know Jesus died for me. I mean, all the things, I just don't feel like it. I mean, why am I having this struggle? Why is this battle going on? You realize there were things in my life that were not right? There were things I was allowing in my life that as a child of God, though I can't lose my salvation, yet it was affecting my soul. It was affecting me. It was causing me to think things that were not true. It was causing me to make decisions contrary to God's will for my life. Now, you know, don't get hung up on that. I wasn't in some gross sin or anything. Just, you know, sometimes we allow things in our life that we think are, it's okay. I mean, it's not sinful. I mean, it's, you know, it's not pornography. It's, you know, it's not drugs. It's not alcohol. Look, not everything is good for us, even though, you know, it may seem okay, right? But if it's something that is going to destroy you and destroy your relationship with the Lord and destroy the peace that God's given us through Jesus Christ, then it's something we really should get out of our life. It's something that should not be a part of our life, because though you will still go to heaven as a child of God, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the Holy Spirit, yet God wants all of you. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to be a living sacrifice. We belong to the Lord wholly, not just part of us, but all of us. Our entire being belongs to the Lord. Every part of us belongs to the Lord. The Bible says, Jesus said this in Matthew 15, 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So again, as a child of God, the things on the inside will defile. The devil works hard against the flesh. He works hard to change our thinking, to change our emotions, to get us not to walk with our Lord and Savior, not to live a Christ-like life. He wants Christians to be miserable, and the only way he can do that is to affect their flesh so it affects their soul. That's why the Bible tells us, quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside every believer in their spirit. Your spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. The devil can't get to it. If you're saved, he can't get to it, but man, he affects the flesh. He can affect the soul. So if a child of God, if someone is born again, if someone confesses Christ as their Savior, but they're depressed, there's an outward reason for it. There is something in that person's life that they've given place to that is causing that depression. Something they've watched, something they've listened to, something they've done with their hands, something has caused that child of God who has the blessing of the peace of God in their life to rob them of that. Again, the devil still wants to rob us of the blessings of the Lord. Again, he can't take away your salvation, but he can take away, if you allow him, he can take away your will to live, your will to walk with God. So your flesh, your soul. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The devil works hard on the outside. He works hard to get into your eyes, to get into your ears, to get through your hands. That there's things in your life that he wants you to do, to watch, to listen to, so it affects your soul. But God works on the inside. God works in your spirit outward, because it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that produces the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the meekness, the gentleness in your life. It affects your soul. It affects who you are, the way you think. It affects your desire. Remember, God says that he's the one that begun a good work in you, and he's the one that will continue that good work. He's the one that has given us even a desire to do what's right, and he's the one that helps us to have the will to fulfill that desire of doing right for the Lord. Now, I know it's a lot, but I'll just stop here and tell you, on the back table, there's a copy of my notes. If you want a copy of the note of the sermon, because I know it's a lot to take in, you can grab it on the back. But I really felt compelled by the Lord to do this sermon, because I know a lot of people are struggling. And though I will counsel and I will tell people what they need to do, and yet they don't do it, I think it's because they don't understand who they are. They don't understand what makes them up. And this is important. This is why in Ephesians chapter 6, we're given the armor of God. We're given some things of God to put on to protect the outside, or to put on so that the inside is protected. So who you are is protected. So you don't give in to the flesh. You don't give in to the carnality. You don't give in to the doubts. You don't give in to the deception of the devil. You remind yourself, I'm a child of God. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And the Holy Spirit wants me to have the fruit of the Spirit that will affect my soul. And as my soul is affected by the things of God, it's manifested on the outside of my life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, 16, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Pastor, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like singing. I don't have the joy of the Lord. It's because your flesh has been affected in some way that has caused you, who you are, has caused your soul to doubt the things of God, not have the desires of God. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you are negatively being affected and you're not experiencing the full blessing that God has for your life. And in God's word, it says, let. You and I have to make a decision. We have to let the peace of God rule in our heart. Well, how do I do that? Well, listen to music that's going to edify you. Listen to music that's going to glorify God, that's going to lift your soul, not your flesh. Your flesh can get gratified, but your soul isn't. You're still depressed. You're still down. You're still doubting, right? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Like we were talking about in Sunday school. This right here, the word of God, is what the devil has been fighting against since day one. Since day one that he slithered into the Garden of Eden and got Eve to question God's word. And then Adam, he sinned as well. But he said, yea, hath God said. He got God's people to question what God had said. And because they thought about it, because Eve stood there looking at the fruit, thinking about it, convincing herself, well, it looks good. It will make us wise. Surely God wants us to be wise. What did she do? She took it and she ate it. I don't know, she might have smelled it too. I don't know. She might have used all five senses. What I'm saying is, then the outside, what she did, the sin she committed against God, affected her eternally. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and die for the sins of the world. You can be saved and still find yourself in trouble at different times. But it's by choice. It's never by accident. If you are a child of God this morning, you know Christ is your Savior, but you're struggling, if you'll be honest with yourself, God will show you where that struggle is. He'll show you where it started, and you have to confess it, and then you have to do what God has said in His Word to do. Pick up the Word of God and let God's Word dwell richly in you so you're changed from the inside out. The inside has to be changed before the outside can be changed, but it will manifest itself. Now, thirdly, the Spirit. I've already been talking about, but your spirit. Your spirit is eternal. If you're a child of God, it's untouchable. The devil cannot, because the Holy Spirit has sealed you. Okay? But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 7, or 4 through 7, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Every person needs to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Well, if I'm renewed, then why do I still have a desire to sin? Why do I still have a desire to get angry and get mad and say things I shouldn't? Well, because your flesh, your body didn't get saved. Your spirit is saved. Why do I still have these bad thoughts? Because it's still part of who you are. God doesn't save because we turn over a new leaf. How many of you kind of gave up on New Year's resolutions? Long time ago, right? Because every time you'd make it, what would happen on January 2nd? Out the window, right? Maybe some were better and you got to the fourth or fifth or sixth day, but eventually you just, whatever, you know, you throw it out because this year just didn't start out right, right? You know, something happened, you throw it out, right? But praise the Lord, God already knew what He was doing. He already knew that the day that you called upon Him to be your Savior, the day the Holy Spirit came into you and sealed you, He already knew the outside of you would still be sinful. He already knew that your thoughts, your will would still be compromised at different times. That's why we have to give in to the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's why the Holy Spirit has a ministry to cultivate His fruit in us so it manifests in our soul and will manifest itself in the flesh outward. How can somebody who is a gambler, a drunk, a slave trader, a hard man, a blasphemer, a God hater, how can he get saved? How can his life be changed around to where he doesn't act that way anymore, think that way anymore, have those desires anymore? Well, when you sing John Newton's song, Amazing Grace, you'll understand. Because that's who he was before Christ came into his life and changed him from the inside out. He couldn't give himself over to any more drinking. I mean, there are times in your life where you might be tempted. Man, this, you know, I don't drink, but, you know, what if I had such a bad day? I was like, you know what? Everybody says you just take a drink and it takes everything away. Well, it doesn't, right? But you have people that say that. I mean, wouldn't that be wrong of me to sit there and go down to the bar and take a swig of whiskey because I've had a bad day and I deserve it. And God understands. I'll confess it later. But sometimes that is our thinking. Maybe not about drinking, but in other areas. Do you know why it's not good to binge watch TV? It's not good to just veg out. And there are times where I just feel like vegging out. Because then you're not guarding yourself. You're not guarding your mind. You're not guarding your emotions. You're thinking just been watching a bunch of TV is just going to make you feel good, and it doesn't. Going on a binge on social media, looking up everyone else's life, doesn't make anybody happier. It makes them more miserable because everyone's on Facebook lying about how great their life is. I've had relatives on Facebook, nobody in here, relatives on Facebook in a different state, just, you know, smiling pictures of the family and our marriage is so great. And I'm thinking, okay, I know the truth and that's not true. Your marriage is on the rocks. Your husband's talking about divorcing you because of things you've done. But they want the world to think their marriage, think their life is great. Sometimes we as Christians do that among ourselves when God already knows the truth and God wants to change you from the inside out. God wants to pour out his blessings in your life. He wants you to have the abundant life. Didn't Jesus promise? Didn't Jesus say, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly? How many of you have felt the lackness of the abundance? I have. And I've even, Lord, you said that you came to give abundance of life, and how come I'm not feeling it? If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask God, because he will tell you. Oh, okay, it's me, right? It's not God, it's me, right? I just want us to understand this morning that God created you with a design. If you're saved this morning, you have his seal upon you, the seal of the Holy Spirit. But you still have to deal with you. You still have to walk with you every day. But you don't have to walk alone. You and I have the Lord Jesus Christ who wants to walk with us because as a child of God, we're new creatures in Christ. Galatians 5:24 says this, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, it's talking about walking in the Holy Spirit, choosing to walk with the Lord, choosing not to allow your flesh to be in control, not to allow your thoughts to be in control, but to allow the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out, which has been God's plan all along. Romans 8, go to Romans 8, all right? In Romans chapter 8, God predestinated us to be conformed into the image of his Son. But we have to choose to walk in the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I choose to walk in the Spirit, if I choose to read God's word daily, to meditate upon it, if I choose to allow the Holy Spirit to change me from the inside out, then on the outside, I will live. I will live through the Holy Spirit. I will live a life that testifies. Have you ever been around somebody, whether you were passing them in the grocery store, whether it was a family member, and just, I mean, the look on their face, I mean, they just were hardened and it just... they had this demonic look on their face. They weren't demonic themselves as far as, you know, their look, but their face was like, you know, just all the time. It's just someone that, you know, you didn't want to be around. It was someone that just brought the whole room down because just their countenance testified what was going on in the inside. But then that same person, when they came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their countenance is completely different. And you're like, wow. You remember in, I think it's John, I forget the chapter, but this is where Peter and John are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. There's a lame man that's laid there every day at the gate called Beautiful, asking for alms. He's a beggar. He can't walk. Hasn't walked a day in his life. But people would take him there, and, you know, I'm sure he's hardened. Peter has to say, look on us. So he's not looking. He's obviously ashamed. He doesn't want, you know, to even see people just walking by, looking at him, walking by and not helping him. So, you know, he's like this. So you can kind of envision maybe how he's looking, maybe what, you know, the sadness on his face, people walking by, not helping him. Maybe even pondering in his own heart why God allowed his life to be like this. All these people walking by and I can't walk. But then something happened amazingly on one day that Peter and John, obviously, they go to the temple at the hour of prayer. They see this man, they say, look on us. And this man looks up, and the Bible says, expecting to receive something, expecting, okay, you know, I guess maybe I have to use two hands, whatever they're going to give me. Can you imagine the countenance on this man? The outward emotion that shows when Peter says, silver and gold have I none. Well, that's what he was expecting. Some money to go buy some food. I mean, to me, I can almost envision this guy, you know, say, you know, head down. Peter says, look on us. And he's like, finally, somebody. And then, silver and gold have I none. You know, just, you ever had those feelings of emotions like, but then to hear Peter, and he listened, and he responded, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that Peter extended his right hand, encouragement, encourage him to believe what he said, to believe on the name of Jesus. And the Bible says the man grabbed his hand and stood up. Now, you think a miracle would change the attitude of a person? Because the next thing you see with that man, he goes into the temple, and what is he doing? If you know the account, he's dragging himself, he's moping, right? No, the Bible says he is leaping, he's jumping, he's praising God because God changed his life. God did something to the outside that affected the inside. But the greatest thing is for the inside to be affected. You guys already know this, but we had a son that was diagnosed with leukemia. Something that affected his flesh, something that affected his body. And as he would go through his 3 years of chemo and go through the aches and the pains and the hardship of going through that trial in his life, there was something that never changed. And my entire family can testify to it. The doctors and the nurses can testify to it because they were affected by him. His attitude never changed. He remained positive. He remained so positive that even when he was in discomfort and pain, me being there at the hospital with him at different times, because I had to take him in at 3 a.m. because he was in such pain from the bone marrow that was trying to rebuild in his body, and the nurses would just, what's your pain level? And he'd say, well, I mean, it's a 10. And they would be looking at him going, but your face doesn't show a 10. Because he was leaning upon the Lord to help him through it. I mean, just the whole time. What was on the inside really was manifested on the outside, that though he was in pain and discomfort and everything he was going through, yet his attitude changed some nurses that were part of his medical team. It changed their outlook. Because they would testify to him and to his parents as well that, wow, your son has an amazing attitude. Other adults, other children with less pain aren't doing as good as he is mentally and emotionally, because it matters. If you have a walk with God and you rely upon the Lord, that makes a big difference in our life. But we have to choose to walk with the Lord. We have to choose to walk in the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit of God be manifested on the outside, because we are relying upon the Lord. Very quickly, I'll finish with this. Again, like I said, I got more notes. You're more than happy to take a copy of it back there if you just want to. You know what? I would encourage you. Take a copy. Take a copy and read it. Look up the verses. Because I don't know who is and isn't struggling in here. Some I know, but others may be, but sometimes we're good putting on the facade on the outside and not letting it show. God truly does want to bless your life, and he does it from the inside out. This is why the armor of God is so important. But in Ephesians chapter 4, this is what the Bible says: let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you're a child of God this morning, you know God's forgiven you a great sin debt. You know that God has not just forgiven your sin debt, but his Holy Spirit resides within you, because he truly wants you to have a life that is blessed beyond measure. He truly wants you not just to have it, but to know it, to feel it. I mean, even though we may go through the midst of storms at different times, yet you are the only one that can allow or not allow the blessings of God in your life. God's ready to pour it out. God's ready to intervene. God's ready to show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not, but you and I have to choose to allow it. What I don't want to happen for anybody is when they take their last breath, and when I say anybody, any child of God, I don't want you or me to get to heaven, to get into the presence of our Lord and Savior, and realize I did not let Christ do everything he wanted to do in my life. I did not give him the place. I did not give him the eminency in my life. I didn't let him have his proper place in my life. I allowed everything on the outside of my life to affect the inside of me, and completely lost out on everything God had planned for me. You know, understand, God has a plan for your life. And sometimes, I know, sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes things happen. How can this be part of God's plan? But listen, we always have to remind ourselves, if God brought us to it, he'll bring us through it. God has not brought us into the desert to leave us and to kill us. God has brought us to a place in our life at different times to help us to get our eyes back on the author and finisher of our faith, to help us to turn back to the Lord, to help us to even be reminded, God is my strength. God is my salvation. God is my high tower. The devil's working on the outside so he can get in to distort the inside of you. If you're a child of God, you already have the Spirit of God in you that's wanting you and me to yield to Him so He can work on the inside towards the outside. So the happiness that's on the inside because of the Lord actually shows in your life. It shows in your actions. It shows in what you and I choose to allow into our life. So let God speak to your heart this morning. Again, I encourage you, take a copy of the notes if you would. And if you truly want the joy of the Lord in your life, you got to seek Him with all your heart and do what He shows you to do in His Word. Go ahead and stand. We'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You this morning for Your goodness. We thank You, Father, that You're in control of our life. Father, we do thank You that there's no one greater than You. So, Father, I pray that You would please minister to our hearts this morning. I pray that You'd help us to really think about the things You've spoken to our heart about, the things that You've shown us. Help us, Lord, to really have a desire to want the fullness of God in our life, to want the fullness of joy, to want just Your direction. So, Lord, help us to just have that desire. And I pray, Father, again, as always, if there's someone that really doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would realize their need of a Savior. They'd realize they are a sinner. Their sins can only be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. If they would just confess Him, confess and believe in His death, His burial, resurrection, believe that He is the only one, and they would call upon His name and trust Him fully, they would have eternal life. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that You'd continue to encourage us through Your Word. As the piano begins to play, give You a few moments alone in prayer.